This is the 426th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter from the AJC. We're going to preview the Falcons game against the Tennessee Titans. The Falcons are 4-3 and in sole possession of first place in the NFC South. We're going to have a special guest, Danielle Ledbetter of WSMV Channel 4, Nashville, Tennessee, to come on the show and help us preview the game. If you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Atlanta Falcons are on the NFL's radar screen. The league is inquiring about how the Bijan Robinson situation was handled last week by the Falcons. They think there may have been a violation of their injury reporting rules. Arthur Smith here on the handling of the Bijan Robinson situation on game day.
Along with my experience, you know, we always check in and tell those guys that are part of the possible actives to always be ready. A lot of things have happened over the years in my experience in the NFL. I always check in when we get to the stadium. Guys, make sure nothing else has popped up. There's things that have popped up before, and so I always do a final check. And then obviously you talk to the player. And then the situation felt good that he'd be available. How much? We did see how the game went. And the way the game went, you know, CP and Tyler did a nice job. And but at the end of it, you know, I asked if he could go because I like. I think he does a good job, especially in the 2-minute stuff. And he went out there, and how it affected the game, maybe it affected some calls. We'll never know, but got the look he wanted with Kyle's play. And, you know, he got us a couple yards and finished the game and helped get the field goal closure. But things come up all the time. Mike, you've covered this game a long time. But so I always communicate with the players. And like I said, some strange things have happened on game day before, but we would never put him out there if we thought it was something that would be detrimental long term.
The Falcons scored on their opening drive for the second consecutive game. Here's Arthur Smith on what he learned from the team's opening drive.
I mean, same thing. We just continue to work on things. It's a constant, like I said yesterday, it's like the video game. Something's going to pop up. You got to go fix something else. It's the way it goes. So, you know, things that I thought Desmond came out, you know, for a quarterback that. What you love about him is he's not hesitant. Sometimes you guys that come off a game where, you know, they may have thrown a pick or two, they get hesitant, they try to ease into it, but he came off the gate ripping that football. You could see it right when he worked to Hodge on that first play, hit New down the seam. Like, he was in rhythm early. These guys protected well up front too, so it allowed us to get in there and spread the ball around and got the, you know, touchdown. So the game went on. Like I said, we moved the ball really well. We obviously got things to fix, and, you know, that's where we're finding unique ways and different ways to not score. So we'll continue to work on that. But there's a lot of progress being made. I thought he played extremely well from the pocket. I thought he made some big-time throws. Then late in the game too, right? I mean, that was a big-time throw to Kyle.
In that opening drive, tight end Jonnu Smith was a key factor. He caught 3 passes for 27 yards to keep things moving on the 8-play, 58-yard touchdown drive. Here's Arthur Smith on Jonnu Smith's involvement early on in the game.
Yeah, just kind of the way it went, you know, with some things, that the way they played. I mean, like, the thing is, that's a good football team and good coaches. They're always going to adapt. So, again, when you have the what we've been evolving to, that ball can go a lot of different places. So if you just want to take something away here, well, you got to go somewhere else. And if you're not just leaning on one person, you're able to spread the ball around, and we were able to stay into drives and not get out of things and take something away here, well, maybe play somewhere else. So that's just the game that you play, and you know, pre-snap looks they give you, post-snap, and I thought the decision-making from the pocket was pretty good.
Arthur Smith spent a lot of time in Tennessee, first as a tight ends coach, and then moved up to the offensive coordinator position, which helped him get the job here in Atlanta. Here's Arthur Smith on if it will be special facing his former team.
I mean, I am from Memphis. Obviously, was fortunate to be there for 10 years, but, you know, it's going to be about the players for us and the Titans on Sunday. But, you know, a lot of good friends and colleagues I was fortunate to work with. You know, someone's still on the coaching staff, and a lot of people, you know, in the equipment and support staff. Just thankful for my time there.
Arthur Smith and Coach Mike Vrabel of the Titans are very tight. So much so, his son Tyler is on the Falcons on the practice squad. He knows that Coach Vrabel's going to have the Titans ready to play this game. Here's what Arthur Smith said about the Titans.
I know this. You know, they're coming off a bye week. Braves will have them ready to go. So regardless of who plays quarterback, I promise you they'll be ready. We got to be ready to roll. This will be our toughest challenge. You know, going on the road, game we need to win. You know, obviously, a game that they'll be ready for, and we'll have to continue to play better. But they'll make you earn everything, and I know this. Like I said again, like, this will be our best challenge because they play hard as well. It'll be a tough physical game, and we'll make sure we continue to. We got to minimize our mistakes and be ready to go execute.
Now, the Falcons, that win in Tampa was huge because they won while playing some extremely bad football, turning the ball over 3 times in the red zone. But they got the win, and they stopped an 8-game losing streak on the road. Wanted to know from Coach Smith if they could carry that momentum on the road to Tennessee after stopping that 8-game losing streak.
Every opportunity, we continue to work. You know, when you're taking team on the road, you got to find a way to win, you know, and we were able to do that yesterday. As however it played out, which you got to give our guys credit for, is it's a resilient group, and they don't flinch in pressure moments, whether that was on defense or going down to cover a punt, or certainly on offense. You know, it's a couple games now we've won, even with this young group, handling situational football pretty well. We know we haven't been perfect, but two out of the last 3 weeks, we've been able to execute in 2 minutes, get down there, and have Koo take us home in the last second.
All right, Nate Landman led the Falcons in tackles last week with 12. Here's our interview with Nate Landman in the locker room on Monday.
Yeah, how big of a win was that for you guys to, you know, play through some mud and come out on the right side of?
Huge win. I think that just points to the resilience of our team. You know, we're a fight to the end. And, super good win. The one that we can learn from. Definitely made mistakes and stuff we can learn from, but a good stepping stone moving on to the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. Take me through your fumble. Look, the book, I saw it, but, you know, how did you tackle the ball on that one?
We always emphasize attacking the ball and getting the ball out, and we're working in practice. You know, the guy was dancing, broke a couple tackles. I saw the ball. You know, I made direct eye contact with the ball, saw it, threw a punch, and wrapped up, and it worked out. I was glad my guys were there to, you know, get on the ball, and good momentum swift for us.
Okay. The program had you recovering it, but somebody else got it?
Yeah, LaKale.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They corrected it. That's right, man. XFL guy getting out there making plays.
Yeah, he's been balling.
Mm-hmm. I know y'all, Tennessee's next, and y'all only given up one rushing touchdown and going against Derrick Henry. How are y'all seeing, once, I know y'all got to get prepared and all that, but, you know, what would it mean going against Henry and their rushing attack? You know they run the ball.
Yeah, we got to bring our A game. He's a top back for a reason. They do a good job running the ball, and, we pride ourselves on, try to stop people from running the ball. So hopefully, we go in there with the right mindset and a good scheme, and we're just going to play, our football, attacking aggressive football. And but definitely credit to them. They got a good scheme going over there, and Derek's a great back. So it'll be a challenge for us for sure.
And Richie was like, hey, I'm proud of where we at, but we're nowhere done. It's a lot of more work to do for the unit. Is that your sense too?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, mistakes were made during that game that we needed to improve on. Definitely next level steps we can take to be an even better defense, help the offense more, help special teams more. Little details that we're going to focus on this week, whether that be attacking the ball more, better in coverage, better in our gaps, just, the whole game of football we could all improve in.
Falcons tight end Jonnu Smith has been a big part of the offense. Here we go. He's going back to Tennessee where he's going to play his old team. And in the interview, we discussed Kevin Byard, but Kevin has since been traded to the Eagles, but they used to go at it in practice. Here is Falcons tight end Jonnu Smith.
Yeah, when your number's called, man, it's always a good feeling to get the team going. And, those couple of plays led to points, led to touchdown, which is huge for us. It's kind of something we've been battling with, inconsistent with, these past couple of weeks. But it's always good to get the drive going and get that thing popping off for our guys, man.
A second game in a row. Think y'all might be on the sound.
It's one game at a time, man. We always come in, every day with the mindset to improve. And I think we've taken a lot of pride in that. And, looking ourselves in the mirror and figuring out what we have to do as a unit, because it's not one person. So it's what we have to do as a unit to continue to improve. And, it looks like we've been gaining up on that. So we just got to continue moving in those steps.
Uh-huh. And then just, I know you've been gone a couple of years, but what are your thoughts on playing the Titans again? I know Terry Bisky and Mike Mullark were a couple of my guys when they were here.
Yeah, no doubt, hey, no doubt. No doubt, man. I was just telling, like I just said earlier in another interview, man, we're humans, And, we have this innate ability to feel certain things and feel certain emotions. Mm-hmm. And part of being a professional is putting those things to the side and coming in here and doing what we need to do. So, of course, there's some guys and familiar faces over there that we got got a lot of love and respect for, man. So, we'll just go in and handle our business and play our brand of football, and, that's what we got to do at the end of the day.
Like, when you get done, it's going to probably have a special place in your heart because that's where you broke in.
Of course. You know what I mean, man? That's where it all started. That's where I got my phone call on draft day with all of my family was there. It was the Tennessee Titans. It wasn't nobody else. You know what I mean? So, of course, I always have a unique place in my heart, personally, and that day can never be taken away from me. Of course, like I said, man, you can't avoid those feelings, those emotions, but at the end of the day, like I said, we are here to be professionals, and when it's time to go, it's time to go.
So. Okay, and yeah, I've been following Kevin since the combine.
Yeah.
I've been following him since Middle Tennessee in the combine.
Yeah.
Y'all used to go together in practice and.
Go against each other. I got you. Me and KD, KB definitely battled a lot in practice, man. He's a hell of a player. A ton of respect for him and who he is as a player and especially a person. He's one of the leaders on that team and a guy that's going to come every weekend and week out, man, and give his all play some good football, man. So, that'd be one of the guys, of course, that, we will, have to, bring our best against as we do everybody, man. So, it'll be definitely a good matchup for us and a good opportunity for us.
This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
All right, we're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. We're getting ready for the Falcons game against the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. It's going to be, they're going to be wearing their Houston Oilers uniforms, and those are sweet. They should just wear those and put a T on a helmet or something and roll with the old Oilers uniforms. They're much better than these Titan things that look like a softball team set up. But that'll be interesting. Also, you might want to go dig up that YouTube video with the Red Stallions when the schedule release came out. So as we move forward, we want you to also know that the Atlanta Journal-Constitution has a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you subscribe today, you can get 6 months of unlimited digital access for 99 cents. That's all of our sports coverage, politics, breaking news, investigations, food and dining, and so much more at AJC.com. Plus, you get access to our e-paper and our assortment of newsletters. So join our community by going to subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. That's subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. So you always know what's really going on. All right, let's introduce our special guest, Miss Danielle Ledbetter of WSMV Channel 4 in Nashville, Tennessee. How are you doing today, Danielle?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here and talking to you today. Excited for this opportunity. How are you?
I'm doing great, Danielle. Thanks for coming on the podcast to help us get ready for the trip to Nashville and a little bit about the Tennessee Titans, who will be playing the Falcons this week. What's the vibe in Nashville?
Well, the vibe in Nashville right now, you know, the Titans are kind of struggling a little bit. A lot of fans right now are kind of taken aback by this trade that just happened. I see a lot of people on social media sounding off about it. A lot of people not happy, like fans and things like that. But they're hoping that this game this weekend will be a good one and that the Titans can hopefully win. That's the vibe in the city.
Well, I certainly understand. They're 2-4 coming off their bye week. Is there a lot of talk about Coach Arthur Smith coming back to Tennessee? He coached there for a long time.
Yeah, there are some talks about that. People are excited to see him square off against the Titans. So they have seen that a lot on social media.
Okay, that's great. And, you know, so what the Titans are, you know, they kind of stole the national spotlight when the schedule release came out. This is supposed to be the Red Stallions game.
Yes.
What was that like when that came out and, you know, the buzz around town about, you know, the Falcons / Red Stallions coming to town?
I think the city in general is just really excited to see the Falcons come to Nashville. It seems like it's been a long time since they've come here. So people are really excited. And then that video that you're talking about, we shared it on our station social media and it took off on our personal social media as well. So people are really excited.
Well, what's you know, if y'all haven't figured it out by now, this is my daughter. She's the oldest. She's been in Nashville since April. She's the morning anchor at WSMV and does some reporting around town for her station, Channel 4 NBC in Nashville. What's the talk about the new stadium and where's that going to be on the downtown?
Yeah, so they actually just had some movement a few days ago. The city had a kickoff event for its $2.1 billion stadium that's coming. They launched their kickoff for that. And so they announced it'll be a 3-year construction deal. So they hope to open it in spring 2027. So it's really exciting for the city. There was a lot of, it was divisive at first, but I feel like a lot of people are getting on board with that now.
So the next time the Falcons play over there, they'll be in a new stadium. What'll be some of the places for the Falcons fans to visit?
Yeah, so if people are listening to this and coming in town for the game, I suggest there's lots of bars, restaurants all along Broadway, which is in walking distance of Nissan Stadium. I'd also really suggest Assembly Food Hall. Inside of there, it's right on Broadway, walking distance from the stadium. But inside, there's Prince's Nashville Hot Chicken, and they're the originators of Nashville Hot Chicken. So I definitely think that's a highlight, a go-to spot. As far as other like attractions, the National Museum of African American Music is right down there as well. Again, all the things I named are walking distance from the stadium because it's really a hot spot and there's a lot to do, a lot to see down there as well.
Well, Danielle, I know you got to be on in the morning, so we're going to let you get out of here. We're going to thank you for coming by the Bowtie Chronicles podcast and helping us get ready for the Falcons and Titans game. 1 p.m. on Sunday. Of course, it'll be 12 in Central Time and we'll be over there. But 1 o'clock Sunday for my Atlanta people. Falcons are in first place in the NFC South, and the Titans are in last place in the AFC South. Well, you take care, Danielle, and we'll see you this weekend.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, see you this weekend. Bye.
All right. We want to thank Danielle for stopping by. Danielle Ledbetter, the morning anchor, morning weekend anchor at WMSNB. Thanks for coming by the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. All right, let's move on to some notes for the game. Hey, this is going to be a big one. Ryan Tannehill, 35, is in his 11th season. He's probably not going to play, didn't practice today. And Coach Vrabel said today if he cannot play, that both quarterbacks would play. And that's both Malik Willis from Roswell High in Westlake. He was taken in the third round in 2022. And then Will Levis, the former Kentucky quarterback, who was taken in the second round of 2023. That'll be interesting because Willis and Desmond Ridder were on the board at the same time. And the Falcons passed on the local guy and took Desmond Ridder. So they'll get to go head-to-head if Willis starts. But he's going to play Levis. Willis got in the game last week and didn't. I'll go over his stats later. Held on the ball, got 4 sacks. So, you know, last year he played, didn't look too good either. But he started his career at Auburn and finished at Liberty. The Titans also have an issue at left tackle and at wide receiver. Anthony Dillard got pulled in the last game against the Ravens. They are coming off a bye, so they're rested. They've been able to make some changes, and they're hoping to get back wide receiver Treylon Burks, former Arkansas stud who's had an injury, just slow start to his career. And, you know, they really need him to go with DeAndre Hopkins. Of course, the Titans do have Derrick Henry, so I think the Falcons can expect a heavy dose of Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears, the rookie from Tulane. So far, Henry has 98 carries for 425 yards and 3 touchdowns. He played at Alabama, has 3 1,000-yard seasons and 1 2,000-yard season. And Spears has 31 rushes for 171 yards and a touchdown. Now, the Falcons lead the league in fewest rushing touchdowns allowed with 1. And the win over the Bucks was the Falcons' 4th consecutive game without giving up a rushing touchdown. Of course, Arthur Smith and Titans coach Mike Vrabel are good friends. Tyler Vrabel is on the Falcons' practice squad. And Coach Smith, you heard him. I'm just going to read his quote again for emphasis. Braves will have them ready to go, regardless of who plays quarterback. I promise you, they will be ready. So I'm sure that's his message to the team. And he'll have to get his team ready in a favorite position that hasn't played well on the road to go in and knock out a team that they're going to be favored to beat. And the series history is this will be the 16th meeting. The Titans lead 8-7, and in the last meeting on September the 29th of 2019, Henry rushed 27 times for 100 yards and a touchdown in a 24-10 victory in Atlanta. And also, A.J. Brown did work that day at a big 55-yard touchdown catch. And here's the quote from Vrabel. If Ryan can't play, I expect both of them to play. And he was talking about Willis and Levis. And so Willis, when Tannehill suffered the ankle injury on October the 15th against the Titans, Vrabel said the injury was similar to last year where he suffered. And he came back early and re-injured the ankle and ended up on injured reserve. Willis came off the bench in that game, was 4 or 5 passing for 75 yards, but he was sacked 4 times. He played in 8 games during his rookie season with 3 starts. Like I said, Will Levis was drafted 33rd overall in the last draft. Both quarterbacks practiced with the team last week while Tannehill spent time rehabbing the ankle and recovering. All right, before we get out of here, we're going to look at the tail of the tape. And hey, Dean Pease talked about this all last year, and it's now a fact. The Falcons have a top 10 defense. Yeah, go ahead, take some time and applaud for that. It's been a long time since we've seen a top 10 defense in Atlanta, since 2017. And we, you know, Google top 10 defenses and a story, and we did a history on that and how as I think it was 04 and 17 over the last 23 seasons. They're the only time the Falcons have had a top 10 defense, and it's top 10 in every category this week. In points scored, they're 9th, 19. In total offense, 285.4. That's 3rd in the league. So, you know, that's officially the main number there. So you say they are ranked 3rd in defense. They've held the opposition in rushing. They're 8th at 95.3 a game. And then opponents' passing yards, 190.17. So all numbers are in the top 10. That's a legit bona fide unit. And actually, the offensive numbers are pretty good too, except for the main one, points scored. They're 29th in the league, 29th to 32 in points scored, 16.4. But everything else is, not in the top half of the league, but you're only in 17, so you're 1 spot out. So you want to be in the top half of the league. So these are playoff numbers. If they're able to maintain them, they got to score some points to win the games. But they're playing at a very respectable level here through 7 games. Offensively, they are 13th overall in total yards, 341. Net rushing yards, 124.3. That's 8th. And then net passing yards, 216.7. 17th. Now, a couple other key points. Time of possession, they are 11th. So they're in the top half of the league there at 31 minutes and 06 seconds. And then the one other bad number here, these are all you got to do is cut down the turnovers, score some points. Everything else, they're playing good football. Turnovers got to go down. Scoring's got to go up. This team could do a lot of the things that they want to do this year if they can accomplish those two things. They are -7 at 30th in the league in turnover differential. And, you know, the quarterback can't fumble the ball. One of them probably wasn't his fault on the center snap. Can't be sashaying into the end zone either and have the ball knocked off of you. That was really bad. I saw Brian Finneran, broadcaster, from a wide receiver, big-time special teamers. I always respected his opinion because he came in as an undrafted guy. He went ballistic on that play. But, yeah, you can't do that. You got to go in and get in the end zone and, you know, leave that pretty boy stuff alone. So the Falcons have a top 10 defense. They'll be going against the 28th ranked offense. Falcons are ranked 13th on offense against Tennessee's 17th ranked defense. So that's not a big advantage. That's just a 4-point swing. Tennessee's got some defenders, Jeffrey Simmons and so forth. They traded Kevin Byard this week. So he was former 2-time All-Pro for Martin Luther King High, started at Middle Tennessee State, and made it in the league big time, but he'll be playing with the Eagles now. The only thing the Falcons are in the bottom half of the league in is passing, 17, and scoring 29th. So this is a game they'll be favored in. I don't have the point spread right now, but we'll certainly share that on Twitter and all points, social media points for you all. But, you know, this is a game where the Falcons have to go clean up your turnovers. Desmond Ridder has had 8 in the last 4 games. That's unacceptable play. You got to clean that up, keep the ball moving, and get it in the end zone. Okay, you might. And then last week, the Falcons had another delay of game situation. And, you know, coach was trying to call timeout. They didn't give it to him. They were supposed to pump the clock. You know, there's a lot of reasons why it happened. But, hey, it can't happen. You got to get it going, get the ball moving, run the play. You know, don't let the officials get you off track. You know, get it in there and go. So those are just some of the things moving forward. You got Tennessee here. You know, this was a game I had them winning. Now you got a hot Minnesota team coming into Atlanta next week after this game. Arizona, go out to Arizona. You don't want to take them lightly. You saw what happened to Dallas. So you got a chance here to build on this 4-3 start and go into the bye at 7-3. But you got to take care of business. In Tennessee, you're going to have to beat a tough Minnesota team. They looked hot last night, beating the 49ers with Kirk Cousins throwing for over 370 yards. Addison's going to be an issue. He's tough. Hockenson's tough. Not much of a running game. But if Kirk Cousins is slinging it around, you got a veteran quarterback. That's going to be a tough one. Nobody's got when the schedule came out, we had them losing that Minnesota game. But they, even if they get Tennessee and Arizona, then you're 6-4 at the break. You set up for the close. You set up for 7 games down the stretch. So that's where we're at right now, 4-3 here, 3 games away from the bye. First place in the NFC South. All you got to do is clean up a couple things, figure out how to get in the end zone, and quit giving the ball to other people, and you're on your way. So we could see a turnaround. You certainly can't turn over against Minnesota. You might be able to pull that off against Tennessee, just because they gotta just run the ball. They're gonna be playing clock and try to make it real messy and sloppy and beat you up because their quarterbacks can't throw yet. So, you know, Tannehill's, you know, even if he does play, that's probably, you know, he's 35. He's had his best games, So looking forward to seeing Malik Willis probably and Will Levis and a lot of Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears. Now, they do have DeAndre Hopkins, but they haven't been able to get on the ball. So should be an interesting game, one where the Falcons will see if they've grown and matured and can handle, you know, being the front runner. You know, it's been a while since they've been in first place. And, you know, it's been a while where they are going to be the hunted team, not the hunter. They've been hunting for a while. They're 5 straight consecutive losing seasons. Now you're getting ready to be the hunted. And you'll see how that feels when you go to Tennessee to face the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. All right. We want to thank you for listening to the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. And we're going to ask you to have a great rest of your week.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at ajc.com/hip-hop.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years, and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving art scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.